Horváth Podcast. A deep dive into transformation, performance management and digitalization.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Horváth Podcast. Today we have a very, very important topic. It is about SAP S/4HANA. It was in 2015 when SAP introduced in New York the new system SAP S/4HANA at this day under the name SAP Simple Finance. And since then, many SAP S/4HANA projects took place and many transformations programs have been started and already finished. So today we want to deep dive into this topic and share some lessons learned and also share some ideas, best practices on how to dive into this adventure and how to be successful. Hi, I'm René Lindzner, partner at Horváth and also CEO of our North America business. And with me is David Bartella, Senior Project Manager in my business unit.
Hi, René, and thank you very much and welcome to all our listeners. Happy to be here today with you. My name is David, and as you mentioned, I'm part of your big finance team that we have here. And in the last couple of years, we've been working in all kinds of different projects around finance transformation, mainly, but not only, driven by SAP S/4HANA. And our focus is mainly to help organizations transitioning to S/4HANA, ensuring that they can really leverage all the new functionalities we have in there and to support their business growth and also efficiency in their processes. And you mentioned it. Today, we will discuss a very crucial topic that impacts many of our clients. S/4HANA is more and more an urgent topic for all the companies out there as the maintenance of ECC is ending in 2030, not as initially planned 2027, what is, I really think, beneficial for our clients, but nevertheless also 2030, just 5 years, but 5 years, that's just around the corner for many of our customers. And we can foresee already that many companies are struggling to fit in that time frame with their transformation journey, and that's really quite a pity because the transformation to SAP S/4HANA really offers so many chances, and we want that our customers can make use of that.
So let's talk about the transformative journey towards SAP S/4HANA and explore what it takes to be successful in such a transition. Also, clarify what companies need to take into consideration, utilizing SAP S/4HANA to revolutionize their financial and operational processes. From the initial decision taking to a final implementation, there are many stages and steps need to be taken. So today we want to highlight the key strategies for a smooth transition and discussing also some pitfalls and how to avoid them.
And more than that, we will also discuss how making such a significant change can impact the business model of a company, how important it is that the leadership stands behind those projects and supports them, and how to ensure that an organization is well prepared for this technological but also operational shift that comes with such projects.
So whatever you do in these days, if you're just in a kind of transformation program or right at the beginning and about to start into this S/4HANA adventure, I think we can provide some useful insights. So let's get started. So many companies are still using SAP ECC, and many companies are also still reluctant to transform towards S/4HANA. And the reason is very simple. They just fear the high risk and also the high effort that goes along with such a major transformation. So the big question is, how can they start into this adventure and how can they avoid to run over the budget and also to need more time than planned?
Yeah, really good questions. And we will answer them a little bit today, but probably will not have the time to dive super deep into every of those corners. But you said it is a real major shift from SAP ECC to S/4HANA. And this is due to the fact that SAP is discontinuing the support for ECC. And that means everyone must migrate. There's no plan B, no option B. There is one, but it's very expensive. And the challenge isn't just technical. It's also about preparing the organization for the transformation. Companies very often even do not yet realize how much preparation is really required for this transformation journey, because it's more than just an upgrade, like upgrading from iOS 15 to iOS 16 or something like that. We really have a big impact on process and organization, and we need to take care of that.
So this means we should start with the right strategy. Starting with some strategic question and having a strategic mindset, taking in consideration some key questions. For example, what is the company's business model? And how does this business model change over the time? What is ahead of this company, maybe in the next 3 years, 5 years, or even 10 years? What are the key drivers that are needed for decision taking, and what is relevant for the top management? Also, we need to anticipate some changes over the time, maybe new products, maybe also new customer segments, or the entering into new countries or markets or whatsoever. So we see very clear that this is, of course, more than just an IT transformation and just upgrading an IT system. It's, of course, a journey where we really take into consideration what is happening in a company also in terms of the business concept and business-wise.
Exactly. And how do we approach such a big and considerable project? Well, usually we do that with a pre-study. René, do you know how many we conducted of those pre-studies since S/4HANA is out on the market?
Oh, maybe 120, 140, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, and I think that's quite an impressive number. But what is a pre-study really about? Usually, we use this pre-study as an opportunity to thoroughly evaluate the current state of a company, understand where are they today and where they want to be in the future. What is the target picture from them?
Yes, of course. It is so important to get a clear understanding of the status quo. What is the starting position of such a company? What are the currently topics that are really driving them? And also, what are their today challenges? What do they want to improve? And then design from that what they want to achieve and how the target picture should look like.
Exactly. So we're taking more or less a 360-degree picture of organization in such a pre-study. This means we take systematically all the different areas under investigation. We ask the people questions to get the information we need to prepare for such a journey. And areas that we are usually covering are accounting, controlling, reporting, planning.
Yes, and manufacturing, sales order processing, purchasing, and also sometimes HR and many, many more departments might be affected.
Yeah, and there are so many departments and we really have to dive deep into all those processes. We need to understand the organization setup and the challenges that they are facing right now, but also present them what are leading practices in those specific areas. And well, luckily we have a real big team behind us in all those areas. We have experts for all of them because the two of us are more finance guys, I would say. And the result of such a phase is then to have a clear target picture and also have a roadmap. How do we get to our target picture, to the goal to have S/4HANA in place? And very often, and this is a topic we will discuss also more detailed, is the benefit case.
Yes, I fully agree. So the benefit case is extremely important because it is so important for such a big project to get the leadership behind this program. And the benefit case is the entry to that because the leadership is looking into the finance figures and is deciding upon such a business case. So it is relevant to get them involved at this point of time.
Yeah, I think that's super important, super crucial for a successful project.
Yeah, the leadership commitment is important because we need a lot of resources. We need time, we need budget, we need people that drive this program, and the leadership is providing this. So when you have the leadership commitment for such a program, you can be successful. But if the leadership loses interest in such a program after a couple of months or maybe after the one or two first years of such a program, then also you see such transformations failing.
Yeah, we have seen that in many projects to what it can really lead if we have missing leadership support.
I fully agree. So leadership can and must have a very positive impact. Mm-hmm.
And you just named one other very important aspect, which is change management. And I would like to add here one more dimension to that. Maybe you know one of our famous slides that we show very often to our customers, where we say, tear down that wall. Probably you remember that one slide that I'm talking about.
I know this. Yeah, this is a great slide, like this $100 million slide, which we use for so, so many reasons. Yeah, and I fully agree. Successful change management is key. And it's, of course, more than just sending out an email or sending out a nice newsletter on PDF. It's really about keeping the people enthusiastic and supportive.
And we need them to support breaking down those walls because we want to define end-to-end processes in a really integrative way. We want to break down silos within organizations. And we want to make sure that we can fundamentally change how organizations work today. We want that they really benefit from new processes, from more and higher efficiency all over the organizational departments, may it be procurement, finance, supply chain, or whatever. We want to streamline and unify everything within a system, making everyone's life easier, IT and business. And this leads also to the advantage that we can empower the business to take data-driven decision. We allow them, based on the processes with the enhanced data model, to have deeper analytics and to have real-time processing, which supports decision-making. And due to the fact that everything is relying on a better information basis, to also drill down information that are required.
And this is an impressive change for companies, because this is a big step towards future developments and future possibilities in terms of reporting and understanding their own financial position. So this, of course, needs careful preparation and also needs to be carefully designed to have really a tailored change management concept in place and to support the organization during this journey.
And I mean, in the last years, we have executed so many SAP S/4HANA transformation programs. And we have learned so many lessons, also as external consultants there. But I think those lessons learned we took there, and from the lessons learned we took from mistakes that others made, to be honest here, this is helping our clients right now, because we can tell them what are the lessons that we learned during our transformation programs to avoid that they do those mistakes again and again.
Yes, I like this. And it is so important to start with the lessons learned side. So when I see so many conferences where companies share their experiences, you always have at the end this lessons learned slide. But the question is, why not start with this lessons learned slide into such a transformation program and avoid the pitfalls of others in your own program?
So true, so true. I will never forget those endless nights that we fought, mostly through our first transformation programs. And I don't wish those nights anyone who's going through a transformation project. But how do you avoid them? You avoid them also in a way when you have experienced guys on board, people who can bridge between the functional knowledge and also the technical capabilities of
such
a system.
But why is this bridge so important? What do you think? What is the reason for needing those people?
Well, the reason is mostly because very often you have the IT guys on the one side. The IT guys, they have a really good technical understanding. They know what the system can do and how it behaves. On the other hand, you have the functional guys. They know how processes work and what they need, but they don't know really what the system can do. The IT guys usually don't know too much about functional departments, but I just want to highlight here one thing so that we don't get any hate comments afterwards. That's for sure not granted for all IT colleagues. There are plenty of IT colleagues that also know well about functional topics. But very often, and that's something we simply see, and that's one of our lessons learned, they are IT guys, they are focusing on technology, they are focusing simply on how the system works. And then we have the functional guys who even don't know and not aware of what new functionalities are available, what they can make use of. And this is sometimes where we need to build this bridge, because it's really crucial for such an SAP transformation program. And this is where sometimes also external people can help really, really well.
And I think consultants can also take a vital role here, because consultants not only bring this outside-in experience from many, many projects, they also have the latest knowledge about the latest developments of the system, and also they know where those systems will be developed in future. So I think consultants can also provide here very, very important knowledge and also help the organization to develop and build their own knowledge base and to train the people. And this is so important, because you mentioned it already, new systems mean also a deep and very important understanding of the end-to-end processes. And where should the people get this knowledge from, if not someone is telling them about?
Fully agree to that. And we have seen to what it can lead if companies do not take care of that, if they start immediately into the implementation without defining a proper concept first. They just run ahead and they see it more or less like an IT upgrade and not as something more, as something bigger for the organization. They have also to take care of everything that's around that.
Yeah, this is what we see in so many cases, that companies after this are really disappointed because they have just the old system, how can I say, in a new environment.
Yeah.
But you have nothing new. There's no innovation available. There's no improvement of processes. There's no improvement of the business concept. So I think it is extremely important to really talk about a redesign and to talk about how you want to really define those concepts and make use of the new features and functions of this SAP S/4HANA system.
Yeah, I think nothing that I could add more to that. I think that wrapped it up really well.
But there's another question. So the topic also many companies are talking about is how to set up such a project. What is the relevant and the right framework? What are the things you need to take into consideration when you just start into such a program? What needs to be done to avoid, for example, risks or to ensure that you will meet the timeline or the budget that is defined?
Well, I would say what is really key for success is to have a proper project framework set up. And that means, for example, that we have clear deadlines and we are not accepting, for example, very last minute concept changes or tons of requirements that are just being raised because someone's saying, oh, we always did it like that. We want to continue like that.
And this is really a big project risk. We saw this for so many times that some changes were even in place right at the go live, which is deadly for such a program.
Testing in production. I love that. Yeah. And I mean, it's not only costing or causing additional delays or additional costs, but you have to think about in a wider way. Even if you have some system modifications, you will have challenges each upgrade. And I mean, we're creating here a solution that will not stay for a few years only. It will hopefully stay for a few decades now. And you have to do at least an upgrade each 5 years. And each of those upgrades will be negatively impacted by any modification done.
So it is so important to evaluate carefully what is needed and what is not needed, and maybe also to decide upon which features and functions are really needed in future and which are not. Because when we look into current installations of so many of our clients, we see a lot of modifications and a lot of specially designed processes and tailored to their personal needs, but they are maybe not really necessary anymore. And sometimes it is also important to take hard decisions, maybe to really, say, okay, we don't need this process anymore because it costs us so much money to maintain it over the long term because it's a modification. We really want to use instead of that, the standard that is provided, maybe not as comfortable as this highly modified process, but way cheaper and easier to maintain and to run.
Yeah. And I mean, right now we are focusing on the process part of our projects. But there's another dimension that we need to take a look at. And this is master data or master data management. And I know this is a topic some people don't like to hear, but cleaning up master data before the implementation is one of the key success drivers. Why am I saying that? I know it's very time consuming and people don't like doing that, but it will simply allow you to have a smooth and effective transition to your new system. It will simplify the testing and you will not start with all the old garbage from the past in your new system, but really with the cleanup of data set.
And I think this is not a can-do activity, it's a must-do activity, because with a clean master data setup, you have also a better and very improved system. But let's talk about a different topic. There's also a big question all of our customers, when they discuss how to start into such a program. Do we go for a greenfield or a brownfield approach? Do we really want to throw away everything that was done in the past, or do we want to invent the system completely new?
Okay, let's discuss that point. I think it's a very important one. The greenfield approach is like having a fresh start on a blank canvas. So really starting from scratch, from nothing. And this is really particularly good for organizations that fundamentally want to transform the business processes. Because the companies can really profit from all functionalities we're having in S4HANA, may it be the advanced capabilities or improved analytics or streamlined data models we discussed before. And in that way, we can really ensure that we use the full potential of the system.
So this means the greenfield approach could be a catalyst for change and could lead to major innovations and also create and support a culture of innovation. So this is a commitment not only from the leadership, but also from the people driving this transformation to change. And this is also something that really forces an organization to think out of the box and to come up with new ideas and further improved concepts.
Exactly. So on the flip side, or in comparison to the greenfield approach, the brownfield approach allows organizations to build upon their existing investments. Because if we are honest, all the big companies already invested so much money in the last couple of decades into their SAP system. But this is less a wholesale transformation we are having here. It's more incremental improvements that you can do in specific areas of your system. But we have to be honest here, it can be a significant advantage for organizations that have complex and highly customized systems, but where the system still meets the business requirements effectively.
True. So what do we recommend?
Well, that's a good one. And now I have to fulfill a stereotype about consultants. And that's the answer. It depends. So there's no clear answer today. And I mean, that's really the truth. Why? Because it depends on the specific company, especially on the status quo, on their goals they have for the transformation and their targets, and on many, many more you can name there. But very often, and that's why maybe I'm coming a little bit away from the it depends answer, is we recommend a smart greenfield or bluefield.
So based on our experience, in most cases, smart greenfield could be a good option. So this means it is more cost effective and less risky. And also it combines the best of both worlds. So you have on the one side innovative part, but on the other side, you can just still use some good and important innovations from the past. So smart greenfield seems to be the golden middle way in such a discussion.
It is for many companies, at least for sure. Yeah. And when we're already comparing different options, another thing that needs to be tackled when we are setting up such a transformation project is about which project methodology do we want to apply? Is it more the agile way or the waterfall way? How do you see that, René? If we are having different types of organization, when is which of those methodologies the better one?
Yes, I think this is really a very, very important question when it comes to such a design of transformation programs. So the decision upon agile versus waterfall is also significant for the success of implementations, because you can go to one side or the other side, but it has to fit to the company culture and the way a company is working. So agile, for example, means that you're more, how can I say, prepared for dynamic markets, for higher flexibility in terms of changing environments, also maybe changing discussions or decisions. But on the other side, you need a better project management. You need to take care about these agile elements, because otherwise you might easily run out of time and also run out of budget. But it fosters, or it even drives, continuous improvement. And it is also something that is really supporting rapid changing business needs. So in such an agile environment, also an agile project setup could be very beneficial.
And I think the agile approach additionally facilitates or forces also collaborative environments. And very often we see that more innovative solutions and greater stakeholder engagement is taking place in agile projects. But nevertheless, it really requires, and you mentioned that we have a proper foundation for those agile practices. And we have a robust product management that is also handling and tracking those iterative cycles effectively.
Exactly. But let's turn to the other possibility, the waterfall approach. So here we see a more structured way of running such a project. So waterfall means that we really start from one phase in going through each other phases, from the concept to implementation to testing and then to go live. This is a very structured way, but it is also a very inflexible way, because when you start with the concept and then run through all these phases, everything is somehow fixed and you need to wait until the transformation program is finished, until you can start and bring in some new changes and some new ideas. So here we talk more about a stable program and more a stable environment. But for some organizations, this is the better way to manage this program, of course.
And I think it's especially good for organizations in highly restricted or strictly regulated industries, like, for example, pharmaceuticals or aerospace or stuff like that. Because the waterfall approach, with its predefined stages and review processes, ensures that we have a thorough documentation and control. And this is essential for meeting those strict regulatory standards that we see in some specific industries.
So this means that the decision between those transformation approaches needs to be done in the pre-study to really clarify what is really feasible for this specific company and how can this program be set up in a successful way based on these two options you have. But let's talk about a different topic, which is also very often a big, big question for companies. Should they aim for single or multiple instances? What does it mean for them when they use just one system or try to transform all the existing ECC platforms towards one single S4HANA instance instead of having multiple instances in place?
I think that's an important question, but I don't want to answer it right away, because before we do that, I would like to add here one more dimension, and this is private or public cloud.
This is also a big topic. And yes, I agree. I remember so many situations where we had this discussion as well. And many ask this question, what is providing a higher benefit? Should we aim for a private cloud or should we aim for this public cloud solution? And what does it mean on the long run for our business? So this is, of course, something that we need to tackle as well.
And I would like to fulfill here again the stereotype. It depends. Why am I saying that? Well, we had a discussion of single versus multiple instances, but also public versus private cloud or on-prem, which is more or less the same. And we can't give here a clear answer, but there are different approaches. let's break that down a little bit. So first of all, the single instance of S4HANA can definitely simplify your IT architecture and reduce complexity, as you will have one unified platform for all business processes. It can also be a catalyst for shared service centers, for example. It can enhance global reporting and all that stuff. But we also need to make sure, and we need to emphasize that if you have a single instance, well, that's for sure not applicable for all companies, especially not for very large organizations where you have more complex processes, where you have maybe sometimes also some local requirements.
I think this is right. So the single instance promotes especially standardization, maybe also more stable processes and easier to maintain systems. But maybe it takes not that much into consideration of local diversities and variances that big companies may face.
Exactly. And sometimes in those cases, it might be better to opt for multiple instances to have more flexibility that might be required there. Each instance can then be tailored to the specific requirements that a different business units or organizations have within the group, or sometimes even region-specific requirements. Of course, it can complicate sometimes the IT landscape and definitely increases the overall costs. Also looking at from a complexity of data management and having unique reporting and all that stuff.
Yes, but let's come back to this topic, public versus private cloud. How do we look onto this topic and what do we recommend to our customers?
Yeah, and I think this is something that we have seen more and more in the last couple of years. Well, I would say for many companies, multiple instances are probably the way they will go because they say we are too large for having just one instance. And if they are talking about multi-instances, they are bringing up the discussion, can we have a combined infrastructure of private and public cloud? So for example, say we bring our more complex business units and entities on the private cloud or on-premise system where we can still have custom development and a very tailored solution, whereas we bring, for example, non-operative holding organizations or sales organizations that fully stick to standard to the public cloud. In that way, again, we can combine the best of both worlds, having reduced costs and reduced maintenance effort for the public cloud release, for example, but still having the flexibility for the entities wherever it is required.
So this means a smart choice between these two options could also lead to a decreased license cost and maintenance cost basis over the long term. So I think this is really worth to look into this closely and to take care about this also during the pre-study, because here there are some saving potentials. And I think this is extremely important also then for the business case, which is the next important topic for us, because the top management always want to have a kind of business case because they want to ensure that the invested money is providing some return and it is a good investment. So what about the business case and what can we tell our clients about this business case and how should we design it?
Well, the business case is complex for S4HANA because it should not only articulate the financial benefits such as cost savings or return on investments. It's, as we discussed, more than that, it's also about the strategic advantages that we can see. For example, improved compliance, also enhanced decision-making that is data-driven, as we discussed before. And very often the top management seeks for a clear, quantifiable outcome out of those business cases. But very often it's hard to deliver here hard figures because, as said, it's not only from a financial view beneficial.
So the business case is very, very important for many, many decisions. And it is also a driver for not only having an IT transformation, but also going more towards the kind of business transformation and entering into a valuable transformation program for that. Because when you just do an IT upgrade, there's not so much benefit in it. You can have some savings in terms of the hardware, maybe in terms of the software. But when you really improve processes, when you really improve functional concepts, the way of work, introduce higher automation or having improved reporting capabilities, this is something where the real benefit is given and where a positive business case is developed.
And there's one more thing or one more dimension I would like to add to the business case. And this is to address also potential risks, but also to detail out which mitigation strategies do we have in such a project to avoid or ensure that those risks are not risking the whole project timeline. And this can include also the roadmap for the transformation process with defined milestones so that we ensure that at a specific point in time, we reach those milestones. KPIs that illustrate how the project's progress is going on and which positive impact do we have right now in the organization.
And I think here we close the loop, because when we started this podcast, we talked about strategy and also the involvement of the key stakeholders and the top management. And now here with this business case, we have this involvement. And what is clearly to my mind, that we need this kind of tailored business case. It needs to be something that is really telling the company about how they should drive this transformation program and what does it mean, but what kind of benefit it also will provide. So this business case should not only address the opportunities, but also the risks. At the end, we talk here about a holistic view and about a complete picture of what needs to be done and what is needed to start into this transformation program.
Agree. And you close the first circle and I will close the second circle, because beyond the numbers, it's about storytelling. Connecting S/4HANA transformation to the organization's vision for the future. Leaders who are backing up the project need to see and understand how the technology will shape and support the company's direction for the future, and therefore also lead to long-term value, because it can support innovative business models and also lead to sometimes a better customer experience. Again, this is maybe not a real financial value here, but it's something that's also very, very important.
Yeah, and engaging the top management is extremely important. It is essential. And I think this is a very good way to get their attention at a very early stage. And I think also the business case is a good way to stay into this ongoing dialogue and ensure that this program is really, yeah, ongoing and really keeping their attention and also in their eyes the relevance.
I think our discussion has shown really well how critical the business case is also as a communication tool. It's not just about getting the green light for the project, but setting the stage for the transformational change, ensuring that the top management remains committed to the project and is a backup and backing up the project all over the journey. But as great as our discussion has been, René, and I feel like we could keep talking about this forever, about more and more topics.
For ages.
For ages, and probably go also deeper in specific topics. I guess we have to wrap it up for today.
Of course, I agree. I think this was really insightful, David. And thank you for sharing your ideas, but also your experiences here with our listeners. I think this was really great and maybe kind of first start and idea on how to continue or even start into such an S/4HANA transformation program.
Yeah, also big thank you to you, René. I think great discussion. But before we wrap it up, I want to emphasize one more thing. So namely, how important it is to build the bridges we discussed before. That's one of the key decisions or key drivers for a successful project. And as we said, consultants can be really helpful here. So if any one of you sees a benefit in contacting us to support you in your transformation journey, reach out to us. So thank you all very much for listening and see and hear you soon.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate your rating and review. And if you don't want to miss any further episodes, click on the subscribe button. See you next time. Stay curious and take care. The Horváth Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.